Turn to the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. It's a familiar text. God has convinced me there's some fresh water in this old well. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Amen? Let us pray. The Lord our God, I ask that your name in all the earth. We come again, oh Father God, right now, once again, another time to hear from you. Father God, we're unable to preach or teach us by ourselves or understand it. So you actually allow your Holy Spirit to come on and stay with us as we sit at your feet. Father God, allow it to exhibit his perfect teaching and preaching ministry right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, allow your word to do just like you said it would do, that it would not return unto you void. Let it go out and accomplish that which you sent it out to do today. Father God, let it attach itself to us. Let it be a tailor-made word fit just for our circumstance and our situation that we're going through at this present time. Father God, I don't know what my neighbor needs, but Father God, I know what I need, and you know what I need. So Father God, first I ask you to bless my neighbor with a word from on high. Then Father God, once you bless them, don't forget about me. Move on my situation too. In the name of Jesus. Father God, bless our understanding. Draw back the draperies of misunderstanding. Allow your Holy Spirit to anoint our mind afresh. Give us clarity of understanding, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. We ask you for, oh Father God. We perish, oh God, because of lack of knowledge. But Father God, we ask and we sit humbly at your feet. Allow our mind to be in a mode to receive what you are depositing into our spirit today. Father God, let your word go forth with power and might. Bless your preacher, oh Father God, this earthen vessel that you have blessed with ability and an opportunity to stand behind this holy writ. I can't do it by myself. So I'm going to sit down, oh Father God. I will decrease so that you will increase. Yes. Right now, in the name of Jesus, speak, Lord. Teach us, Lord, for your people hear it. Yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at the 7th verse. And listen to Paul speaking to us. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Y'all know the scripture. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure. Y'all still with me?
Amen.
Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I just like to say to you, put a tag on the text just with your prayers, just for a short little while. Trust God when he says no.
Thank you.
Trust God when he says no. Usher, thank you and take your seats. Thank you, choir. Trust God when he says no, y'all. My brothers and sisters, we have many messages, teachings, and conferences on how to name it and claim it. How to praise God because he is so good and so worthy of it. I don't need to be taught how to praise God when he does what he requests of me or what I request of him. Faith does not have to work when there's a peace that surpasses all understanding. When my health is good and the bills are paid, I don't have to trust God then. Teach me, God, how to trust you when I don't receive the healing.
Yes.
When they say they are going to evict me or foreclose on my home. Yes. When I look at the word of God and say, God, I see what your words say, but this is what I am going through. Teach me, God, how to trust you
when hell has broken loose in my life. In this text, we hear the Apostle Paul speaking to the Corinthian church. He unveils a personal experience to impact the audience that he has won over to a rep in Christ in Corinth. He shares something, y'all, that went on between him and God.
Amen.
Y'all with me?
Amen.
This is a rare opportunity because Paul does not say much about his personal experience with God. It's a lie. You don't feel to hear Paul talking about what he went through. Paul begins his moment of transparency by explaining the depth of the revelation he has received from the Lord. Paul shares the revelation he has received from God as a result of a personal conversation with his Lord and Master. Paul was abundantly blessed in every area of his life, y'all.
Yes.
He was abundantly blessed intellectually. He was abundantly blessed with charisma. He was abundantly blessed with unique experiences in God that no one else had.
Yes, yes.
Everything Paul did was big.
Yes.
Y'all hear me?
Yes.
Everything he did was big. God brought Paul to a level of accomplishment that can be matched by no other in the Bible. Paul stands shoulders above all the other disciples, having spent less time with Christ than the original 12. Y'all follow me?
Yes.
But did more with the little he had. He was a Christian terrorist. Christians were terrified of him, feared him. He was a force to be reckoned with until he had an encounter with Christ on the Damascus Road when God knocked him off his beast. Paul had a turnaround moment with our God. All of a sudden, he became one of the very people he used to hate.
Yes.
Won't God change your life when he comes in contact with you? He'll change you. The problem now is that Paul is now in an environment where he has to fellowship with the same people he was trying to kill.
All right.
Paul became rejected by where he came from and not fully embraced by where he now was. Paul now was a misfit, rejected and ostracized. God loves misfits.
All right.
Y'all hear me?
Amen. Thank you,
Lord. Someone who has been rejected by the status quo.
Yes.
I'm glad that God seeks out those who don't fit into the cliche or the routine.
All right.
I'm glad God goes after us. When you exist outside the box, the club, the clique, there's a special glory. I'm talking real slow, y'all. Y'all get this. This is going to make you real happy, Deacon Drake. There's a special glory, anointing that rests upon you. Paul had this special anointing and glory that rests upon him. He experienced things in God that other men called by God did not. Paul said in the spirit he was caught up into paradise.
Come on now, yes.
And heard unspeakable words when it's not lawful for a man to utter. Can I explain and exegete that verse? I mean, God took him up into the third heaven in the spirit and was saying things to Paul that he didn't even write to us in the book right here. But Paul said, what God was telling me, I can't utter it to no man.
Yeah.
I said, why would this great teacher, this theologian, this Bible writer, wrote and told us about the gospel and salvation, figure he couldn't tell us what God told him. Paul said, I was in glory. And my mind was not able to wrap around. And if I tell you, I know you want me to wrap your mind around what God said to me. When people around you become mesmerized by your gift, they fail to realize that behind every gift, there's a price to be paid.
Yes, yes.
Oh, he preached so good. He prays so good. He sings so good. She sings so good. You don't know what it costs for her to do it. He didn't do that.
Right.
I'm telling you, they just ain't getting up on Sunday and doing it.
Yeah.
You just don't understand. People see the outer display of your gift, but they don't see the inner pains that come with being who you are.
Amen.
There are people fantasizing about what you have and what you have become. They don't have a clue of what it costs to be what God has created you to be. Stop getting jealous at people that can do something you figure you want to do. You can't handle it. That's why you ain't doing it yet. Because you ain't ready to give up what they have paid. I'm telling you, I'm a living witness. You're not ready to suffer the cost of the anointing. You're looking at the outside exterior of the gift. You're not at in the midnight hour with the recipient of the gift. You want to drive a Maserati? You can't afford the payment. You jealous of your neighbor's lawn on that side? Yeah, his grass greener, but I'm sure if it's my grass greener than yours, I bet him, I bet you my life, my water bill higher than yours. This is simple, y'all. This is not hard stuff I'm teaching you. Don't you let poor people fool you. You take a good look. They have a richness in their life that cannot be tabulated in an account. God knows how to balance us. You can be the wisest person around, but you can be wise over here and a fool over there. God says, I know how to balance you. The pain doesn't always come from the enemy. Paul said, lest I be exalted above measure. God sent me a messenger from Satan to buffet me. Buffet means to strike, blow, punch at, and connect with strong punches to beat up my flesh. This is for all the blessed people in the room who have been blessed in some area of your life before you can get intoxicated by the success and accomplishment of the blessing. You got punched, buffeted in some area. Maybe not in the scene area or obvious area, but somewhere in your life. If you are gifted and exalted, highly favored, you are being punched in your gut somewhere else. Let me pause here parenthetically. There's been a big debate on what this thorn was in Paul's flesh. All the great theologians and all the great sages of the ages spoke of their conjecture of what was Paul's thorn. I thought today I might put it to your rest or demystify for you for what it was. I don't know. I don't know. I know you thought I had some big new revelation for you this morning. I do know that God left it blank so that we can fill in whatever we need to fill in. So that you can recognize that all of us have something different that buffets us and balances us, that makes us pray, makes us groan unto God in the middle of the midnight hour. God, I'm not happy with this. All this stuff and no peace. Paul said, there are the things that brought me down to a place of a humility. We don't know what Paul's thorn was, but we do know he felt about what he felt about it, how he felt about it. He cried to God about it. It was painful, privately, and humiliating publicly for Paul. Can y'all check, apply yourself to this?
All right.
What are you complaining about? What you upset about? Hello.
Amen.
Get yourself in a spiritual balance, New Jerusalem. Get yourself in a spiritual balance. If you don't get yourself in a spiritual balance, you don't have some humility with good thankfulness, don't, just your pastor can't, don't pray. Why are you praying? Why are you praying for God to give you this, and you ain't got no balance? I don't know to tell you that you can bypass this. You cannot bypass this. God not going to dump no wealth and power in your hand, and you can't even handle yourself.
Right. Yes.
Lord.
Do you know how dangerous it is? A person without any self-control is without a whole lot of power. Look at number 45.
Amen.
Amen.
That's it. My Lord. My Lord. Help us,
amen. God only gives what we need. I'm trying to get to see that the life has its issues, y'all.
That's right.
Nobody gets everything.
Right.
I'm trying to get you to see that you may think that God is not fair. But I want you to know he is just.
Yes.
If you think you're going to get through this world without using those tear ducts in your face, you are mistaken.
Right.
Therefore, Paul prayed this prayer. This was a powerful prayer. The power of the prayer was based on the burdens he carried. He prays three times.
Right.
That's why I'm here to talk to you about what overwhelms you. What you feel at. God, you have given me much responsibility. Mm-hmm. I must write most of the New Testament, Paul said.
Yes.
I have not complained about being shipwrecked, beaten, bitten by a snake, put into prison for preaching the gospel. I've laid my hands on dead people and they have come back to life. Yes. Can you just do this one little favor for me?
Yes.
Take this away. It is too much. It overwhelms me, Paul said.
Amen.
This is not someone praying for a parking space or a title.
Yes.
This is a prayer asking for release for what overwhelms his soul.
Amen.
And you thought you had some problems. You think you got problems? You can end up talking to somebody and you see their problems a whole lot worse. It makes you stop thanking God for the situation you in. I recommend y'all can do it. Say y'all from the church. You ain't got to know nobody. Go up to the ICU at the hospital. Walk on through. Just walk on through. I bet you your whole attitude be different once you get out.
Yes. Say that. Yes.
God, I would not have brought this to you if I could take it. But this thing overwhelms my soul. I had to check this thing out. Paul did not have to pray. Paul did not have to pray three times to bring the dead man that fell out of the window back to life. How come prayer always seems to work better when you're praying for someone else?
All right.
Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
Don't it seem like it works quicker when you pray for somebody else?
Yeah.
But now when you're praying for you, it seems like it's slow.
Yeah.
Slow and coming.
Yeah.
There's some things that are overwhelming you. They got your mind so focused that you really don't want to listen to what I'm saying. Some of you don't want to listen to what I'm saying right now.
Amen.
Because you're so overwhelmed. But I want you to need to shake that spirit off your back.
Yes. Yes.
Connect up to the word of God.
Yes.
Because guess what? God's still God.
Yes.
And he's not going to change for you.
Yes.
He's not going to line up to you. You got to line up to his principles.
Yes.
The Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Yes.
He didn't say, well, if you don't like me, you can vote for the other Jesus. He in the other party. You can vote for him and you can go by his principle. No, he said, this is not a democratic relationship. He said, this is a dictatorship. I speak, you listen, and you follow what I say. Now, if you do what I say in the book of Deuteronomy, there's some blessings for you.
Yes, yes.
The goings in about be blessed. Your coming's out to be blessed.
Yeah.
You're blessed in the noonday and the morning time. And but you got to grow up because guess what, y'all? You might not get blessed when you want it either.
Yeah.
I said you're going to be blessed. I ain't saying when you're going to be blessed.
Right.
Boy, this Christian walk don't seem easy no more, do it? God overruled Paul's request. You have the right to object, but God has the right to overrule you.
Yeah.
If it happened to Paul, y'all, the guy who wrote the New Testament, what about us?
Yeah.
He wrote the New Testament.
Yeah.
and God overruled him.
Yes.
Jesus prayed the same prayer 3 times. Pass this cup from me, God.
Yes.
I said, no, Paul, because my grace is sufficient for you.
Yes.
I considered my grace before I allowed the messenger to come your way.
Amen.
Y'all ain't hearing me.
Amen.
I considered my grace before I put that thorn in your side. I considered my grace. I knew my grace can get you through. That's why I allowed the messenger to come to you and buffet you. But if you didn't have that messenger, you would lose your mind and be. But I knew that I had enough grace. I'm just reminding you that my grace is sufficient for you. You need to learn how to rest yourself in me. I measured out the grace. I measured them out. I would not have allowed you to be attacked on this level, church, if I did not give you enough grace to get you through the battle.
Amen.
God told me to tell you the reason you can't trust him, when he says no, he is considering the severity of the pain that was going to come into your life, because he measured out the amount of grace you were going to need to deal with your situation, Sister Mumford.
Yes.
He thought it out.
Yeah.
Everything that I go through, Larry, I must know that God knew it was coming.
Yeah.
I need to get myself on the right track.
Yeah.
And know that nothing happens to the child of God by coincidence.
Yeah.
I'm either in the flesh or the spirit. If I'm in the flesh and in the flesh, I am having a pity party, and I'm not focusing on the spirituality. I'm not speaking anything spiritual. I'm speaking negativity because it's flesh. But if I get in the spirit and know that God is the first, the last, the beginning, and the end, he that goes, that is, and will come, I know that God's working it all out for my good. Now, when you operate on that fact, you walk differently. You respond differently. Your attitude changes.
Yes.
Oh, y'all in heaven?
Yes.
The least little thing don't get you an attitude.
Yes.
Amen. God told me to let you know. He knows it feels like you cannot take it. It feels like you cannot handle it. You feel like you're going to drown. But God said he measured out how much grace you're going to need to be a victor before the foundations of the earth. Before the foundations of the earth. Y'all listen to this. In the book of Revelation, the Bible tells us that he was the Lamb of God that taken away the sins of the world before the foundations of the earth. If I would sit down and use my sanctified imagination and read the text how it's applicable to what I'm reading, that lets me know that before Genesis 1, in the beginning, he was the Lamb of God that took away sin before sin came into the world. Y'all ain't with me. This is when you're really walking the word, Sister Brown. And if you think like that, you say, well, why am I tripping? Because he done walked out my steps.
Yeah. All
right. So what that means, can I make this applicable to you so you can understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
We're all just actors in a big movie on earth. We've been here before. We don't know it. But we have been put in our part. First of all, we got to understand and learn the part that we play in the movie. And once we learn the part that we play in the movie, we line up with the part. We may not like the part we were given, but we ought to learn to act the part, because that's the part we've been given. The producer and director is Jesus and the Holy Ghost. The co-signer and the financier of the movie is God. Help me, Holy Ghost. And say that, I'm hiring you to play this part. No, you sound like you think you're supposed to be the bad guy, or you think you're supposed to be Miss Cutie or Miss Homeboy. You got to play it. Now, when you play the part correctly, at the end of the movie, you get the right credits at the end of the movie. Say you want Sister Brown part because she get to ride with the night shine off. No, you're the maid in the house, and that's your part you're supposed to play.
Amen.
God gave me a new favorite scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 25. As thy days are so, shall thy strength be.
All right.
As thy days are, so shall thy strength be. I don't like the situation, but I got some grace for it.
Yes.
I may be crying, but I got some grace for it.
Right. Well,
and it's not all things always go the way I want. But I got some grace.
Yes.
For it.
Yes.
You need to learn and lean how to lean and depend on Jesus.
Yes.
Y'all ain't hearing me.
Yes.
I'm about to get up out of here. Because I know y'all don't want to hear it. But God said that you didn't pick me, I chose you. And because I chose you, you got to do this thing my way. I'm trying not to get into my anniversary message, but I got to go here a little bit, y'all. Some of the stuff we bring ourselves to, we bore ourselves to it. Now we're trying to pray to God to get us out of it. But if you look and look back at our situation, you brought yourself to some of the stuff you're going through right now.
Yes, sir.
And what's so funny is, while you're going through what you're going through, your attitude comes out and shows why you're there anyway.
Yeah. Come on now.
God wants to expose it because he wants you to confront yourself.
Yes.
Everybody else see it.
Uh-huh.
But you need to see it.
Yes.
God said, I'm trying to let you operate under grace. But you just want to beat up on yourself. And you are beat up on yourself because you're acting out of character. God allows us to pull the cover off our stuff. And when we pull the cover off our stuff, we can be more free with him. We can expose it. We will not fix it until we face it.
Absolutely.
We have to face it so we can fix it. That's just the way it is. God wants us to be better. He loves us. He's not going to kick us out. But you got to get it right.
Yes.
God says, I want you to get to the next level. I got stuff with your name on it. Yes. But you down here on the first floor.
Amen.
And getting mad. That's right. That's that stuff on stupid. That's actually what it is. You're on the first floor. Everybody else getting in the elevator going up. Because you got to realize, everything that you got dragging with you, you cannot take it in the elevator.
Right.
You will not get to the next floor with it. And for those of us on our way up, and we go on to the next floor, that pastor help you. Just because you go to the next level, you're not getting rid of no devils.
That's right.
New levels, new devils.
That's right.
How to trust God when he says no. Realize that his grace is sufficient for you.
Amen.
It's a lesson that we need to be a learning people. God will help. Say, God, you just stop praying. You just pray to God to allow you to accept the things that you don't want to accept.
Right.
Don't you have a prayer out there called the serenity prayer?
Yes.
That's a good prayer.
Yes.
Once we do that, now God starts to move on us.
Yes.
He starts to take us because he don't want us to mess up nothing.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, God.
Amen.
Amen.
Put your hands and give God a hand.